The NHL season is underway as Chicago and Florida tied at 2, just about to begin the third period of play in that one. Then you got the Penguins and the Rangers, the Avs and the Kings. For the Canadian franchises, 4 get going tomorrow, an original 6 battle between the Canadians and the Maple Leafs, and then the late game, the Flames and the Oilers. We have had fun all day previewing the NHL season, and the fun continues with good friend of the program, John Shannon from 100% Hockey, longtime NHL analyst and broadcaster here on the Green Zone. John, is this like a new year for you at 100% Hockey to start a new season?
Well, today's kind of like Christmas, boys. You know, you waited and Christmas Eve, and you're now there, everything's a tree, and we're going to unwrap it, and we're going to digest it, and we have 190 days to go.
Did you finally get Millard off the golf course?
Well, I might have run him over with a golf cart first, but that's another story for another day.
John Shannon with us here on the Green Zone. Okay, as we look ahead to this season, we've talked about the Panthers' injuries. We've talked about McDavid going through things with a new contract. Although the one thing I'm curious about, John, after watching that news conference, Locker and I are almost convinced he's gone after 3 years. I don't know what it was. Well, I know what it was. The way he was talking about the reason he signed a 2-year deal was, you know, loyalty and guys signed here, yeah, and there's people here, and I just felt, you know, let's get this done right. I just had this inkling that he took serious consideration about leaving this offseason, but finally just landed on, no, let's do a couple more years, and then it'll be time to leave. Or do you think we're off the mark?
Well, I think, first of all, it's 3 years from now that he can leave. So this year plus 2 more. He basically gave the organization notice that if they don't put enough investment in players on the Oilers roster to win the Stanley Cup in the next 3 years, then yes, I think he's gone. If they win the Stanley Cup in this short period of time, 3 years, then all bets are off. And basically, in some ways, what Connor McDavid did by saying at the end of August that he wanted to win in Edmonton, basically what he did, he's put his money where his mouth was. And his money was, I want to win so bad, I'm prepared to sacrifice $5 million of my own money that I could have asked for in order for you guys to go and improve the hockey club over these next 3 seasons.
$5 million at least. What was more shocking, John, the Kirill Kaprizov saying no to 16 mil or the 12.5 that McDavid agreed to?
Oh, in my mind, it was the it was the 12.5. I mean, I was not shocked about the 2-year term. I had been told there was a good chance it was going to be 2 or 3 years, so a short term deal made a ton of sense. But for him not to take a pay raise of any sort, to me, is quite frankly mind boggling. And I say this with a tremendous amount of respect for Connor. I say this for a tremendous amount of respect for the Oilers and for our country. But what he did was typically Canadian. To sacrifice for the whole as opposed to the individual is typically Canadian. And that's what Connor McDavid did by accepting that contract on Monday.
It'll be fascinating to see how Stan Bowman now works, especially when the cap goes up like $9 million and then another $9 million after that. Yeah. With McDavid
but
at that.
But here's the thing. Here's the other thing. So I do a lot of work in Vancouver, and here we are 24 months out from Quinn Hughes' contract being either extended or he goes to unrestricted free agency. 24 months out. What are we going to do next summer with Connor now? Next summer, not 3 years from now. The whole thing will start up again next summer. He basically bought himself 12 months of peace and quiet. That's all he did. He bought himself 12, because we're going to be saying, well, 24 months, what happens now? I mean, they can't re-sign him yet, but we're going to be worried about it. It's a self-fulfilling prophecy of the short-term contract, because people will start to panic next summer.
John Shannon with us here on the Green Zone ahead of the hockey season. Last 2 years, it has been the Oilers and the Panthers in the Stanley Cup final, and there's been a lot of teams close. The Dallas Stars, the Carolina Hurricanes, the LA Kings, Vegas, of course. Of those types of teams who have been in the mix but haven't been able to get past Edmonton and Florida, who do you like, John, maybe getting past Edmonton and Florida and getting into a Stanley Cup final?
I do like Vegas. I think you have to like Vegas. I think the addition of Mitch Marner helps them, but the subtraction of Alex Pietrangelo hurts them. So that's one team that you have to look at. And you know darn well, you guys know what Kelly McCrimmon's like. Kelly McCrimmon is like, he's a riverboat gambler, and he's already trying to figure out how, somehow, some way, this year, at some point, they can find a veteran defenseman to replace Pietrangelo. So you have to like them. In the East, I am not sure there's anybody. I am not sure there's anybody that can compete in the playoffs with the Florida Panthers. I just don't see it. You know, what will happen, guys, in my opinion, is the Florida Panthers will waddle through 82 regular season games, make the playoffs, and then become the Florida Panthers again in April.
Even without Barkov?
They will be tough. I don't know why not. I mean, they are so deep. You know, we talk about cores. You know, I mean, in Toronto, it was the core four, and Edmonton, it might be five, and other teams might be six. But the Panthers are 10 deep with core players. You know, the person that replaces Sasha Barkov might get 60 points as opposed to 90. But what about the rest of the guys? They'll pull their own weight. They might pull up a little bit of the slack. I don't see anybody, honestly. And again, the Bill Zito is a magician. Like McCrimmon, Bill Zito will find a way to find a body. Again, not for the regular season. I'm not worried about 82 games. They will make the playoffs, and they will be in a position to go to the Stanley Cup final for the fourth consecutive year.
I am polar opposite to you on that. I think the Panthers are going to miss the playoffs. I think every team in the league is going to be and you're seeing it tonight with Chicago. They're going to try to beat the wheels off of these guys because they were so mouthy all summer long, so arrogant. I think the rest of the NHL, John, is going to – they're no one's taking a night off against Florida.
Okay, tell you what, you tell your pal Scott Dickers to book me for the 15th of April.
We'll put you down on the whiteboard.
Put it on the whiteboard.
Put it on the board. April 15th, John Shannon V. Locker on – Who reigns supreme on the Panthers missing the playoffs?
I also think the Leafs are better without Marner this year. I think the Leafs are going to surprise people. Hold on.
The Leafs are not better without Marner. You don't have a team go and claim two guys off waivers the day before the season starts thinking that they're better. Sammy Blake couldn't play in New York. He couldn't play in St. Louis. He couldn't play in Vancouver. He couldn't play in Montreal. Now he's going to play in Toronto? Seriously?
Third time lucky.
Or seven.
Yeah, I think the Leafs, I think the Leafs are going to have a tougher time making the playoffs than the Panthers.
Interesting.
I think they got a chip on their shoulder, well, John, and I think they're going to...
The thing with Toronto that I'm intrigued by is the Craig Berube influence for his second year.
Yeah.
And like, are we... They're changing the DNA was their line, right, John? You don't think they have?
No, they haven't. They haven't. They haven't changed the DNA enough. I was looking for Morgan Rielly to be moved this summer. You know, I don't think, I mean, when you're picking up a goalie a day before the season starts and he's going to become your backup, that's a scary thought.
They got to do something for that wall thing, right?
Yeah.
It doesn't matter why they have to do it.
I don't care the reasons,
but they had to do it. That's a scary proposition. I think the Maple Leafs are going to be, we're going to know because they got a tough schedule and, you know, the typically Canadian schedule, they're top heavy in October, November. We're going to have a good indication by the 15th of November.
Really quickly, yeah.
John Shannon with us. Before we wrap, one team we've barely even touched on that's come up today in our previews, we've touched on it a little bit, has been the Vancouver Canucks. Well, you with the work you do, what do you think about what's going to happen in Vancouver? Because everybody just seems everything went wrong with Vancouver last year, so they got to be better. Are you buying that theory?
I buy it a little bit. You know, I mean, I buy it if Thatcher Demko can stay healthy. I really like their defense. It's hard not to say positive things because Quinn Hughes is going to play with a chip on his shoulder this year.
Yeah.
I think they're going to be very good defensively. The question becomes is where are the goals going to come from? You know, Elias Pettersson's put on 12 pounds. He's going to be the number one center. There's going to be nobody yelling in the room. I think Adam Foote has got them in the right place right now. I actually have them third in the Pacific.
I'm in that boat too. I think the Canucks are a playoff team again, hopefully.
And you got to get Jim Rutherford on 100% Hockey at least once a month. He is must view TV.
He's gold.
Oh my goodness.
He's gold.
Does he know it? Does he know how entertaining he is for the hockey world?
Like, is he doing it on purpose?
Of course he's doing it on purpose, but he's here's the deal. I think that this actually changed for Jimmy over the last 3 years. I don't think he really was aware how hard a market Vancouver was to work in. I don't think he understood that. And I think that there was a shock to him in the first 18 months, particularly after what he went through with Bruce Boudreau, what he went through with Bo Horvat. And so he actually, Jim Rutherford, smart guy, really smart guy. And so he said, okay, you want transparency? I'll give you transparency. and then you can't rip me. And you know what? He's right. So he's given them transparency. People are shocked with the transparency. And now people actually are saying, maybe he's too honest. but you can't have it both ways. And I'm old enough. I knew Jim when he played the game, when he was with the Maple Leafs and with the Red Wings. And so I just think that Jim Rutherford's a very smart man and he knows how to play the system. And he's done a really good job in stabilizing that franchise and managing ownership. I have all the time in the world for Jim Rutherford.
We have all the time in the world for you, John Shannon, and we'll write it down. April 15th,
well,
John Shannon.
April, we'll, Florida's out of the playoffs.
I don't want
10 minutes. I think we need a half hour. I think we need a half hour. You know, we'll take a break. I'll stick through the commercial.
Okay. Well, you'll make my program director happy if you stick through the commercial.
Yeah. Well, I might even read the commercial if you want. I want Locker to be sitting there listening when the Florida Panthers are in the playoffs and the Maple Leafs are on the cusp. So that's all that's going to happen here.
John, always entertaining. Always appreciate your
time.
John,
we're going to sell that. Reading commercials in Regina and Saskatchewan.
Thanks for your time.
It's okay. If 100% hockey, I read commercials on 100% hockey. I can read commercials on CJME. How's that?
Absolutely, John. Thanks for your time as always.
Cheers, boys.
That is John Shannon. 100% Hockey, the podcast. I can't wait.
That's awesome.
Now I really want the Panthers to make the playoffs so bad. This is 980 CJME and 650 CKLM. Jamie and Locker with you here in the Green Zone. Of course, a couple of hockey contests to remind you about here on the Green Zone this year. The Green Zone Tic Tac 20 contest is back again. So CJME.com, CKLM.com, sign up.
Nice thing about that one, you can sign up at any point during the year.
Yep, any point during the year.
Now, next
go
week.
Go in there, CJME.com, Tic Tac 20 contest. $100 on the line for week one Saturday night. Well, Saturday, all the games will draw the contestant every Friday. The jackpot will be $100 to start, and then it goes up by $100. Last year, Marcel won $1,700 with the Green Zone Tic Tac.
We had trouble getting the winner at the beginning of the season.
Yeah, nobody wanted to score a quick goal. And then I think we got two or three by the end of it.
Yeah.
For the Green Zone Tic Tac 20 contest. And while you're at CJME.com and CKOM.com, on the contest page, you will see the Green Zone Hockey Pool this year. This has a deadline. You have to sign up from a week from today. Of course, the season started today. A week from today, you need to sign up if you want in to the Green Zone Hockey Pool. There's 10 boxes of 6 players. You pick one player in each box, and there's your roster for the entire season. We'll tally up the points. We'll update the standings throughout the year on the Green Zone Hockey Pool, but you have a week from today to get in.
Get
again,
on it.
CJME.com, CKOM.com. Locker's picking McDavid. Just picking McDavid.
You're crazy if you don't pick McDavid in that box.
I think he was the lowest scorer last year of the players in that box.
Crazy.
Stop trying to push people to McDavid. You're probably going to go with Draisaitl and try to win. Is that what you're trying to do here? Nice.
Leon would be a good pick, too.
but, again, you need to have a week to get in for the Green Zone Hockey Pool. Prizes at the end of the year for the top three. And if there's ties, because there is the chance some people might pick the same 10 players, we'll just draw the names on who the winners are for the top three if there's a tie at the end of the year. Regular season. Of course, the cutoff will be the end of the regular season. But we continue our preview as we had a great chat with Chris Cuthbert, the voice of Hockey Night in Canada, and we wanted to know what it's like for the voice of Hockey Night in Canada before a season and getting ready as he scours all the roster moves ahead of the 25-26 season.
Let me give you the stock answer you hear a lot. I'm just getting ready game by game, but no, there's almost an, I was kidding today that you know, you've got how many months to prepare, and it's like that essay that you start the night before it's due, because it just seems like you're drinking from a fire hose in the last week or so. And and there's some extra stuff that you want to do, too. I kind of made a point of wanting to finish Ken Dryden's book, The Game, once again before the start of a season when it begins with Montreal and Toronto. So, you can never be too prepared for the opening night.
Can we ask you quickly about how you handle something like the Jays in a busy time preparing for the upcoming, and it should sort of have an eye on the TV while you're prepping for the game tomorrow night?
Oh, sure. And it impacts us as well. I mean, as much as everybody's cheering for the Jays here, we might be even more so for a sweep, just because it'll open up Wednesday night for hockey fans. Otherwise, you know, the competition on the network's pretty tough, and it'll limit our it would certainly limit our reach in on opening night. It's not normal for us to have such heavy competition on opening night, but we might if it goes to game four.
Chris Cuthbert here, of course, the voice, the play-by-play Hockey Night in Canada and Sportsnet, gearing up for the NHL season. The biggest news in hockey this week is 12.5 two-year deal, Connor McDavid. Chris, do you think you'll be calling more Connor McDavid Edmonton Oilers Stanley Cup Finals games with the amount of cap relief he just gifted to Stan Bowman over the next three years?
Yeah, I wondered if we wouldn't be anyway, but it certainly opens the door. Actually, I should amend that, because I think their route to a third straight Stanley Cup final appearance was going to be a little more difficult this year. But yeah, the cap room opens things up, and so what some teams and certainly the Oilers start with might not be what we see when we really get down to it in the spring. But for sure, he has shown you that I think more than ever how much he wants to win, and I never doubted that in the past. But the two-year contract extension certainly underscores how much he wants to win in Edmonton.
Chris, what was more shocking, the Kirill Kaprizov saying no, that camp saying no to 16 mil, or McDavid agreeing to his original dollar amount at 12.5?
Well, they're both. I mean, you're taking the opposite sides of the scale here. What it tells you is, I think, and I'm not, I mean, we'd all love to be in Kaprizov's shoes, and we'd all love to be in McDavid's shoes, but some former players will think this is unfair of me to say, but I'll say it anyway. I think it tells you that Connor McDavid wants to win more than Kirill Kaprizov. I mean, the Wild just got out of salary cap jail with, you know, getting rid of the contracts of Parisi and Suter and having to go through the aftermath of that, and now they've got Kaprizov at 17 mil. Although we are going to have to wrap our heads around the fact that that the salary cap changes are changing everything, and soon that $17 million contract is probably going to be, I don't want to say commonplace, but certainly we'll see more of them.
Austin Matthews just told a reporter, and the poll quote is, it shows how much he wants to win when it came to reacting to McDavid's contract. How Locker and I have been talking about this for 2 days. Does this change the landscape for the next star player to sign a deal? Yeah. Like, has Connor McDavid, like, made Jack Eichel and Kyle Connor and those guys have to think twice about what number they want and what perception it's going to be compared to what McDavid just did?
Yeah, I think it depends on the individual and the individual situation. I mean, Vegas has already won, so does Jack Eichel use that in his assessment of where he stands? And I think Eichel's more likely to see 17 million. I know the comparables out there for Kaprizov and Kyle Connor, but I think a lot of teams will say, we don't want to go there with a player who's not the centerpiece of our team. Eichel is in Vegas. McDavid is in Edmonton. I'm not sure you say exactly the same thing with Kyle Connor. So, but it affects everybody, because now you look at 17 million and the next player up who's got to negotiate a deal says, well, I'm not $7 million less valuable than Kirill Kaprizov. So, you know, it's every agent's going to use the number to their advantage and to try and to work the best deal for their client, unless it's a McDavid, it's a Crosby, it's a John Tavares in a smaller way who takes the huge discount for the benefit of their team.
Chris, one of the byproducts of the McDavid conversation right now is the motivation conversation, right? Like, why did he make this decision? Why did he do this? And what's it lend to? And one of McDavid's favorite reporters in Edmonton, Mark Spector, tried to get McDavid to admit to creating some urgency for the team to build something that's going to win in the playoffs. And I think that's definitely, that was on his mind for sure. He suggested that it was a byproduct of the decision. And maybe not a leading motivating factor in his 2-year deal. But I'm curious if you think that that's exactly what McDavid was doing. You got 2 years here, guys. Figure it out.
I think in a way it is. I think it's a potential. And Oilers fans don't want to hear this, but it's a potential exit strategy too. If it doesn't happen, in that period of time, he's going to be able to leave, I don't think, without any controversy. I mean, it'll be gut-wrenching for fans, and we've been through it with Wayne Gretzky a million years ago. But I think what he has done is said, I've done everything I can do to help this team win a Stanley Cup. And if it doesn't happen, then he can leave and feel, I think, that he hasn't cheated that market in any way. It'll be, 13 years he has devoted to that market. And if they don't have a cup by then, I don't know how you could blame him for going elsewhere to make the money he deserves and perhaps to find a better situation to win a Stanley Cup. That I think everybody agrees that if you can deserve a cup, he would be one of those guys.
Chris Cuthbert with us. The NHL season starting tonight, but it's also an Olympic year. Chris, how much interest in this season are you on those bubble players? Like these guys like Bedard and Celebrini and Hagel and Cirelli, like, I can't wait to see what kind of production some of these guys are going to try to do. Like, I know they wouldn't maybe anyway. It's just another season. But come on, Chris, they got to have some extra juice trying to get to that Olympic roster in December.
No question. No question. And it would have been like that anyway. But after what we saw with Four Nations, for sure. Does Cirelli and Hagel, do they have and Seth Jarvis, to the guys that played on a winning team, have an inside track? They might, but they might not either, because it is another chance for a guy like Connor Bedard, who I think is probably as under the radar a star player right now heading into the league as there is. I'm kind of intrigued to see what Connor Bedard does this year to make us take note. But that Four Nations was so amazing, and the Olympics is going to be another level beyond that. So for sure, it's a great storyline coming in.
That is Chris Cuthbert. Of course, he'll be on the air tomorrow with Toronto, Montreal, but he'll also be back with us tomorrow to talk more about the Canadian teams and the Leafs and the Habs. And I'm interested, after all his years in the CFL, I'm going to ask Chris what he thinks about the rule changes in the Canadian football.
I'm wildly curious about what his thoughts are.
But I was thinking about that.
Okay, when did he start calling games?
20 years ago? It was 90s. In the 90s.
He did CFL forever.
We'll see what Chris Cuthbert thinks. Not only the NHL season, but the CFL rule changes tomorrow here on the Green Zone. Couple of chumps coming up next on Champs and Chumps on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Each every day, Champs and Chumps. The chump today's LeBron James. Do you know what, Locker? I don't even want to talk about why we're making him the chump, because this is what he wants.
Yeah.
This is what he wants. You're a chump, LeBron James. You're a chump. That's it. He promoted his decision. Second decision coming today, 10 a.m. So people are like, oh my goodness, is he retiring? No, it was a commercial. I'm not going to even tell you the product. Chump LeBron James.
It's a really good chump. I'm curious if he knows.
Of course he knows what he's
doing. Does he know he's a chump?
Yes.
Good.
And he's now fully embracing he's a chump. Our other chump, Jerry Jones, got fined $250,000 for giving the finger to fans in New York, although he's a chump because he's appealing it because he says it was an accident. He meant to give them a thumbs up. So he's given the thumbs up, and then all of a sudden he looks down and gives some people the finger and then points at them. And he's trying to say it was a thumbs up. Come on, Jerry.
If he wasn't trying to lie about what he was doing, he would have been today's champ. But unfortunately, Jerry, you're today's chump because you lied about it. Everyone was on your side. We're okay.
Yeah. You were ticked off. The New Yorkers were yipping at you during the game. You flipped them the bird.
Give them the bird. That's
they do it in New York all the time. So, but now he's trying to say it was an act. I meant to give him the thumbs up.
Chump.
Chump, Jerry Jones, right there.